We have access to the throne room of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you would open us such a new avenue this morning. Let the heavens open over our lives, over this church, over this locality, over the entire nation of Australia. Let your presence, let the open heaven right now, let there be an open heaven and a fast flowing river of the Spirit of God that's going to bring about a change and a powerful move of God in our land. Father, we open our eyes to see and begin to see far in the Spirit, to see what are the things that you have declared and decreed for our land. And we know and we thank you, O God, that you're raising up a people that will worship you in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That will God bring God into the government, that will bring God into education, that God will be exalted over all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But by the Spirit of God, we thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you that families be restored. We thank you that people be reconciled. Racial reconciliation, even. Thank you right now. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our land. And thank you that even from this congregation, the people you are touching and raising even right now, to be a recipient and to be powerful in what God is doing in relation to the church and in relation to the city of Perth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you honor. Yes. We give you praise. We give you glory.
Yes.
Because you are worthy of it all.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. You do exceedingly abundantly more than we can think or even ask. Even all the great things that we have heard, but you have even more that we are able to comprehend.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You are such a good God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Help us to see this morning.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, last week I began to share about how the Word of God must come in a fresh and a powerful way. So we talked about last week about how the Word of God must come in a fresh and a new powerful way. And how, what did we talked about? We talked about the Word of God is near us. Everybody say the Word of God is near us.
Near us.
The Word of God is in our hearts.
In our hearts.
And the Word of God is in our mouth.
In our mouth.
All right. Everybody, you gonna... Are you listening? All right. Okay, everybody, you verbalize with me. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. The Word of God.
The Word of God.
Is in our... Is near us.
Is near us.
Is in our hearts.
Is in our hearts.
Is in our mouth.
Is in our mouth.
Let's verbalize that one time. The Word of God.
Word of God.
Is near us.
Near us.
In our hearts.
In our hearts.
In our mouth.
In our mouth.
What it means is that we not only hear the Word of God, but the Word of God will bring faith to us. That's why it's so important that whenever the Word of God comes, it's to bring faith into our hearts, to see that God is able. God is able to turn things around. Amen?
Yeah.
And when we believe that with our hearts, and when it's in our hearts and it's in our mouth, something powerful is going to take place.
Amen.
That's why when we talk about the Word of God coming to us in a new and a fresh, powerful way, it's not going to be a time where the Word of God, we hear it, we read it, And it's a good moral principle that we apply, and which we never apply anyway, and then we never do anything with it. But it's going to come to a place in our hearts where the Word, first the Word is going to start to internalize in our hearts, in our lives, first, personally, where we feel like the Word of God, we personally becomes internalized in us first. And I think that's going to be a powerful way, because the Word of God is coming to us in a fresh new way. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the reason why we're going to take hold, we're going to lay hold of the Word in a new way. The Word's going to, Word is coming, but you and I must be able to capture it. That's why I keep encouraging that, you know, as long as we keep... Is that Einstein that said this? If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, that does not work, you're not going to get anything happen out of it, right? I can't remember the exact quote, but there's something like this anyway. And sometimes what we do is we keep doing the same thing, but we're never breaking out, because we think that this is what it's meant to be like, right? So we're confined. We're hearing, but we're not hearing. We're here, but we're not here. We're worshiping, but we're not worshiping. Or something like that, anyway, to that matter. But the days are coming where the Word of God is coming, but the people are ready to receive the Word of God. And the people will respond to the Word of God. The Word of God will bring excitement in our hearts. The Word of God will stir our spirit, and the Word of God will bring passion into our hearts. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Is it important for us to hear what God is saying?
Yes.
You know, so we have to start to see, come into a place that, you know, when we're worshiping, God is speaking. When we are praying, God is speaking. When we hear the preaching of the Word, God is speaking. When we read the Scriptures, God is speaking. When we set our minds upon God and really spend time with the Lord is speaking. Is that right?
Yeah.
So it's an aspect of our lives that we've got to embrace. That God is on the throne and He's speaking. This is going to be we're talking about a new dimension of the Word coming to us powerfully. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So it's, that's why sometimes we got to dare to do things that we don't do. Amen?
Amen.
Alright. If you're someone who never likes to dance in church, then you should. You should. You really should. No, it's true, it's true. I'm telling you. How do you break limitation unless you dare to do something? How do you how do you overcome something unless there's a challenge?
Yeah, that's it.
So if we never put ourselves in a place of challenge and we thought, oh, okay, yeah, you know what? Just praise the Lord. And we never challenge ourselves to something greater and better. We won't break any barriers. You break barriers because you're doing something.
Yeah.
Because you're going forward. You're saying, I'm going to dare. I'm going to take the challenge.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for any sports person, if you play sports or anything that matter, whether it's in education, if we don't push ourselves to do better each time, how do you improve? If you're doing the same thing at the same level every single time, sorry, I'm doing this because I'm playing tennis. Okay, if you do the same thing over and over again without pushing ourselves to the next level, then we're going to be really good at doing what we always do.
Yeah.
Right? But if we say, okay, there's a challenge, there's a new challenge, it's out of my comfort zone, maybe I don't usually respond. But now you say, okay, I'm going to take this challenge, I'm going to let the Word of God stir my heart. You do something that you don't normally do, not something wrong or bad. I'm just talking about the things of the Spirit, the things of God.
Yeah.
Like lifting up of our hands and all these kind of things. So I'm just... Just before I really start the message, I just encourage you, okay? Try and do this, because as I'm going to talk to you this morning, I'm going to talk to you about worship, you know, and we're going to open ourselves completely before God and let God see us completely and just really open our hearts to Him. Before I begin, though, this morning I read a scripture from Colossians chapter 2. I just want to read that again. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "In Him you were all circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Having wiped out," everybody say, "having wiped out."
Having wiped out.
"The handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way." Everybody say, "taken it out of the way."
Taken it out of the way.
"Having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed the principalities and powers, He made it a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them."
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. What a powerful thing. That every just requirements of the law has been broken.
Amen.
has been wiped out, wiped off. He's disarmed every principalities and powers. Thank you, Lord. And you know, because sometimes scriptures like this, they really stir your spirit. When you hear something like this, it really brings a stir in you. It just brings like, wow, God, such an amazing thing. I don't know about you, but when I read this morning, I just felt like, I just felt in my spirit so stirred. You know, it's something we've heard over time, but something when I hear it, it just brings hope. It just brings like such a courage in my heart. And you know, and it causes you to say, wow, God, you are amazing. Amen? So I want to talk to you this morning, a new dimension of worship. So we talked about a new receiving the Word of God in a fresh and a powerful way. But we're going to talk about worshiping the Lord in a fresh and a new powerful way. Okay?
Amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
One of the things that oftentimes keeps us from, you know, worshiping is because of something that happened in the past. Is that right? So there's all these kinds of things that's coming forth. But that's why I want to declare this scripture this morning. That all the just requirements of the Lord has been wiped out. So that, you know, because we are held back by those things, and so we are focused on the problem rather than God. But when God says, I've wiped all of that out, you can leave free from those things and worship God. You break free from those things. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why we declare this morning, yes, that the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, has been taken out of the way in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. It has been nailed to the cross.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the power of the cross. Thank you, O God, that we can see you. Thank you that we are set free. Thank you for that from the abundance of our hearts, we worship
yes.
you in
yes.
spirit and in
yes.
truth.
Yes.
We don't worship you just because we have to. We want to worship
yes.
you because it's coming from our hearts.
Amen.
We want to shout. We want to scream.
Amen.
Because we are called to do it, but because something from within
yes.
is rising
yes.
from our
yes.
hearts
yes.
and say, oh God, you are an amazing God.
Yes.
Oh, you are great.
Yes.
You are awesome.
Yes.
What a God that would set us free.
Yes.
Even when man was not looking for God, but you came to reach out to man.
Yes.
You extended your hand
yes.
because you are the definition of love and your holiness, oh God. Thank
yes.
you, Lord.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
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 It's going to be a little bit different this morning, okay? Alright, so let's. I just want to start off by reading Revelation chapter 4. We want to worship God in spirit and in truth. When we worship God, the heavens are going to open. Everybody say, heavens open.
Heavens open.
When the heavens open, our eyes will be open. Doors will be open. There will be open opportunity. There will be favor with man. Okay, before we do read Revelation, let's turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. Sorry. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 to 47. Okay, I'm saying all of this. Stay along with me. From verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. All sold their possessions and goods and divided them from among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God. Okay, this is a verse that I want you to see. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church those who were being saved. When they were praising God, coming together in one accord, worshiping and giving everything that they had, they found favor with all people. That's why when we worship, doors are going to open, and even favor. I speak that there be favor in our lives, with people, in our jobs, in our works, in families, and in everything. There will be divine favor in the name of Jesus. Even for Darling Downs Church application, there will be favor.
Yes, amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. This is our portion this morning. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So, open hearts, we'll have open heaven, open eyes, open doors, open opportunities, and favor. And write it down, I'm trying to remember this, amen? Every time we worship, the heavens open, and there'll be divine opportunity. You know, I've been learning recently about Revelation chapter 4. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 4, and there's something powerful about this that I think we should all look into more and more, and as we learn together, to worship God in spirit and in truth, to worship God around the throne. Let's read some scriptures this morning, is that okay?
Yeah.
Amen. Revelation chapter 4, it says this, I'm going to read. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Everybody say, a door?
A door.
Standing open in heaven.
Standing open in heaven.
And the first verse which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Say, show me.
Show me.
Okay, so I hope you're seeing this already. There's an open door. It's open heaven. Right?
Yeah.
Open eyes. He's going to see.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, in this passage of scripture, just note down all the throne. There's the word throne that we'll keep repeating, so just take note of it, okay? Verse 3, and he who sat there, which is the throne, was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne. Rainbow. Alright? He will never break his covenant. And an appearance like an emerald. Verse 4. Around the throne. Okay? Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Alright? 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Verse 6, before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and around the throne, were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, and the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The 4 living creatures, each having 6 wings, full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Verse 9. Whenever the living creatures, they are not animals, they are not beasts, they are the redeemed of the earth, amen, give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Then chapter 5, just verse 1, and I saw in his right hand he who sat on the throne, a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with the 7 seals. Then jump to verse 7, chapter 5, verse 7, then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Verse 11, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were how many? 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. What are they doing? They are saying with a soft voice.
Loud
voice, sorry. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and the search are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying what? Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Now, just from reading the scriptures, so many on the throne, around the throne, before the throne, in the midst of the throne. And so what I've been learning recently is that we've got to worship and we've got to camp around the scripture. Our lives must be ordered around the throne because worship is taking place around the throne. Constantly. They don't cease saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." You know, and so if we want to worship in a powerful way, in a fresh and a powerful way, we're going to start to hopefully try to understand those verses, but really start to see God on the throne. God on the throne. Because if we worship God, we've got to worship the God who is on the throne. We don't go looking for Jesus in the grave because he's not there.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
But where is Jesus? He's on the throne. He's seated at the right hand of God. Amen? So if we worship God, we've got to worship him around the throne. Where angels and all creation on earth, under the earth, or in heaven, they're just worshiping God, praising God, glorifying God, blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne. Amen?
Amen.
One more text of scripture, Hebrews chapter 8. Now we start that. Now this is the main point of the things. Amen. Obviously, it's continuing on the previous chapters, but he's saying all that I'm saying to you, and the main point is all of all that I'm speaking to you is this. Verse 8. Are you ready? Are you there?
Yeah.
Some of you. Now, this is the main point of things which we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated where? At the right hand of the
throne
of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary is and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that the one also having something to offer. For if he were on the earth, he would not be a priest, since there are priests who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve the copy of the shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown on the mountain." But now you ordain a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. For, now listen to this, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then there would be no place to be sought, being sought for a second. And from here onwards, what does the scripture in Hebrews talk about? It starts to talk about how superior the new covenant is. Like it's the real thing. Not just the one on the earth that Moses built, but the heavenly one. Not the earthly, but the heavenly. Not the Aaronic priesthood, but the priesthood of Jesus. Not this, not that. Not the natural, but the spiritual. Not the shadow, but the substance. So you see this thing here. But what is the main point? Jesus, who is on the throne. That's the main point. Because why? He came to establish the new.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So we got to come into a place. If, you know, so we got to come to the throne. Come to the throne. Come to the throne. So, and worship God in that place. So we can use the scriptures to help our minds to begin to picture, visualize, and begin to know that everything in heaven, on earth, or under the earth, they're all praising God. And when we worship, we're going to worship like this. Like I said at the start, you know, one of the things that sometimes stops us from worshiping is because of something that's been holding us from the past. But when Jesus comes, he cuts away the past and gives us the new.
Amen.
Because of the consequences of death, and the penalty of sin, which is upon our lives, and gives us a new life and new destiny. Amen? And all the promises of God can come through into our lives. Why? Because He finished work on the cross, but now He's on the throne. So where do we worship God? We work to worship around the throne.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The last thing that I want to say is this. Because of those things that have happened in the past, our focus becomes on the past. Or maybe not the past. Maybe there's something that you're going through now. Now, what you're going through now is the main focus of our thoughts. Are you with me? So rather than being conscious of the one who is seated on the throne, we're conscious of the one, or we're conscious of things that's bothering us. Is that right? That's why we have to believe and really take that scripture from Colossians, that everything of the past, all of that's been wiped out. Let's move on from those things and let's move forward. Is that right? Right, because all of us, we need a fresh touch from heaven. We need an encounter with God. And the thing is, this is what's going to happen. We talked about new dimension of the word coming powerfully to us. But this is a new dimension of worship coming powerfully to us. It's going to be a place and a point where we come to worship God ready. Which means when we come in together, it's not the worship leader saying, "Come on everybody, let's worship the Lord." No one's going to lead us in worship, because the true worship leader is Jesus, the Holy Spirit. It's not going to be the job of whoever's out here, or the pastor, or whoever, is to say, come on everybody, worship. Because when they all saw the Lord, what did they do? Worship. When John saw the glorified Christ, what happened to him? He fell at his feet as one dead. The worship leader didn't say, "Hey, fall at your feet dead, Jesus is here." No, he saw and he fell at his feet dead.
That's right.
No, seriously. But we're taking a place, but you know, sometimes I'm one of them too anyway, so I'm guilty. But we're trying to take that place where we're trying to, you know, tell people to worship. But the reality is, I heard this recently, if it comes to mind, I'll say it. But it's because it's something that's in us. If we see the Lord, if we encounter the Lord, hey, we'll worship. No one has to tell us to worship.
Yeah.
We will worship.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the difference when we come together to worship. A new and a fresh, powerful way of worship is going to be like this. That when we are here, we're going to be conscious of the one who's on the throne.
Yeah.
As long as we're conscious of everything else, our eyes is not set on the one who's on the throne. I mean, how do we worship? We're not worshippers because we worship and sing song, but because internally we are worshippers, that makes us worshippers. Is that true? We can come here and sing songs, but that doesn't make us a worshipper. But it's because who we are from the inside that makes us a worshipper. That's why I'm saying, you know, it cannot be that the worship leader is trying to get people. It's going to come to a place where I know where I am. I'm conscious. And then this is what, you know, this is what God is dealing with my life. I've got to be conscious of the one who's on the throne all the time. Is that true?
Yeah.
Yes.
We are so conscious about everything else, about everyone else, about everything that's happening, but we lose sight of Him who's on the throne. That's why we've got to lay aside everything when we come before Him. Use every opportunity that we have to touch God. Use every opportunity. How do we set our minds on things of the Spirit? How do we help our minds to see God around the throne? God's going to find worshippers here this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Because of what He has done in our hearts, if we've been truly touched by Jesus, something would just break forth. That's why I encourage you, just reach out to Him. Reach out to Him. You know, don't worry about what happened. He can fix it, right? Just reach out to Him. Raise your hand. Sing your heart out. You know, sing your heart out. And you just see the Lord move in our lives. You know, when we find that place of worship. Sometimes we work like Martha. But we're going to find a place like Mary. Maybe some of us are too busy doing so many things. But we're going to find that place. Amen? I did say I was going to finish with this, but let me finish with this one, okay? If I can get musicians, can you come up, please? We can help ourselves to, when we're talking about worshipping, you know, we worship our God from our hearts, but we worship our God with our minds by singing the words and meditating and thinking of the words that God is speaking, right? Just maybe some of the things that you can maybe take back, and hopefully that will be helpful, because it is helpful and I'm working on this. And is this a lot of times we say we must worship God in, you tell me, spirit and in truth. But to worship God in spirit and in truth, you must be in the spirit. But then we always say, how are you in the spirit? Then that's where everyone goes, I'm in the spirit, right? But what does the scripture tell us? That he who set his minds on the things above is the one who is in the spirit. And so how do we set our minds on the things of the spirit? Sometimes we don't know how that even works, right? But I think slowly I'm starting to grasp a little bit of what it means, maybe a fraction. By constantly trying to think, okay, what is in God's mind right now? Think about what is in God's heart, right? Where do you find it? You find it in the scriptures, right? So you start to think about what's in the heart of the Father, what's in the mind of God, what is in the will of God, what are the promises of God, what is God saying right now, what has God spoken prophetically? I don't know if that helps, but when we start to think about those things, we are setting our minds on the things above, and we are walking in the spirit rather than walking in the flesh. So I just hope I'll say this to encourage you, because even as we worship, how do we set our minds on the thing? How do we worship in spirit? You just flow from what is flowing from the heart of the Father. You say, Lord, I worship you, I thank you, I praise you. And all these things, you just set your mind on those things. Hallelujah. So, worship is coming in a fresh and new, powerful way.
Amen. Yeah.
Not because we sing songs, but because of who we are internally. Because we have encountered, we have tasted the good hand of God upon our lives. He set us free from our sin. You created us. You made us. So I encourage you this morning, camp around Revelation chapter 4 and ask the Lord for more understanding of what it means and how do we set our minds, how to be around the throne, constantly meditating on those things and worship Him, and like the angels crying, holy, holy, praising God, praising God, and praising God. Hallelujah. Praising the work of His hands. So I would also encourage you at home, when you speak in tongues, when you pray, just praise Him. Praise Him constantly. Just use your understanding. Use your mouth. There's something about speaking, okay? The word is in us. The word is near us. The word is in our hearts. And words is in our mouth. Yeah. Alright? It's not just in us. It's not just near us. It's where? It's in our mouth. You know, thank you. expresses what's in the inside. There's two things at least I can think of. Our words. Is that true?
Yes.
And the second one is our actions. Is that true?
Yes.
So if we're going to express worship internally unto God, how do we express that? From our hearts, from our actions. Our posture in worship, raising up our hands, focusing on the Lord, singing those words that mean so much to us, speaking those words, praying those words. And worship lifestyle will carry itself across with everything that we do as well. It's the same principle, amen? I want to sing this song. Rather than talking about worship, why we don't actually worship, right? A lot of times they say we learn things by not just learning academically, but by doing. In fact, the disciples of Jesus learned by following Jesus and doing what Jesus did. They did go to Bible school. Amen? I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just saying. But there's something that we can catch by doing. Alright, so rather than just talking about worship this morning, why don't we all just worship God from our hearts? Amen? And just use the scriptures. Always use the scriptures. How the angels are worshipping, and what are they saying, and why are they saying what they're saying? What are they seeing? Amen? What are they seeing? Maybe we should ask those questions, you know? We may not have the answers to everything, but ask ourselves, why is it that what they see, they're saying, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is. There must be something extraordinary, phenomenal that they're seeing. And hopefully as we start to press in and ask God and pray and worship, all these things will become clearer, because the word is coming in a fresh and a powerful way. New order of worship is coming in a fresh and a powerful way. Amen? Alright? Dare to live. Amen?
Amen?
Dare to do. Amen?
Yeah.